Heading past seven. Now, Chris Taylor has been busy in the last 24 hours or so just viewing the tape, going over the tape of the, one of the greatest bouts we've seen in Australia for a long time. I'm talking here the Bomber v Ironbar Stoush. Mr. Taylor, it's obviously a points decision. There was no knockout blow, but who are you awarding the fight to?
Well, look, bizarrely enough, I give it to Beasley.
Do you?
It's the first thing he's won in years, but I think he did get the better of it. I mean, full points to Ironbar for initiating the bout. I thought he went in very well early. He got some beautiful lines away. And there's actually a point in the bout. It's what I call the turning point, where Beasley goes from the nervous, awkward laughter as he is concerned the media is capturing this assault, to the point where his mind eventually clicks in. It's about the 1 minute mark of the exchange. He goes, "Hang on, I'm running in for an election next year. I can't just laugh at this. I'd better engage and look a little bit tough, as if I can handle the issues." And you can see it very clearly. He just snaps into a different mode and gets into that aggression mode. And a lot of good finger-pointing work.
Yeah.
Some great use of the word weak. And I counted 16 weeks in the exchange. And then, of course, I went down with a fat so-and-so, which I thought would be, there's the final line. He goes, "You're a fat so-and-so."
Yeah, it was obviously his killer punch, which he left till last. But I don't know whether it got the effect that he would have hoped for.
No, just a fat opposition leader would have had more sway with the judges, I think, but so-and-so.
Incredible control, though, that Ironbar was able to, thinking on his feet, thinking there's nothing offensive about calling him fat, but I better not go that one step further and add a word to it. Put in so-and-so.
Yeah. What we at The Chaser loved about this is that we could actually use the footage, because, as you probably know, but not everyone realises this, there are restrictions on the use of parliamentary footage. Any good argy-bargy or even the chicken stuff this week that, when people were hassling Costello, The Chaser or any comedy program is not allowed to use any vision filmed in Parliament. They've actually passed legislation that parliamentary footage can't be used for the purposes of satire or ridicule. So,
as if anyone would ever do that.
I know, but what do they think we are? So, I don't know if Tucky got our email, but now that he's decided to stay parliamentary debates outside the building, we can use the footage. So
there was a suggestion that Mr. Tucky may have been on a retainer from The Chaser. You couldn't get down here this week. I don't know whether you guys were too scared to fly or something like that. So you engaged Wilson to do your dirty work for you.
It was a bit like that. It was like when I first saw the footage, I was saying, "That's not Julian Morrow. Someone else going up and hassling a politician."
And I ask you, I say to you, Chris Taylor, if that had been Julian Morrow or Chris Taylor, you would have been arrested. Where were the police yesterday?
I know. Yeah. Where were the sniffer dogs? Where were they? I mean, it's what I call tucky slapping, is what he did to Kim Beasley. It's some of the fiercest tucky slapping, and I think you should be evicted from the house. Should be a full inquiry. You shouldn't be allowed to go to the post-Christmas drinks in Parliament. He's just... appalling tucky flappy like that. So, you're absolutely right.
Now, and the real reason, obviously, people might want to know why you weren't down here yesterday. You have been, you and the boys this week, keeping an eye, you've been on Barton Watts. I'm talking Misha Barton here. Hasn't she set Sydney and the whole of Australia alight?
Well, the whole of Australasia, really. I mean, it's been, not since, the Queen's visit in 56, has someone stirred so many emotions.
Someone who so few people know. Who is she?
We're all excited about it, but most of us did have to go to the press release to learn who she is. Apparently she's a now deceased fictional character from a sort of middling rating Channel 10 drama. She's on the OC, Misha Barton. But she was brought out. She was brought out to launch one of the department store fashion parades or something, because they originally wanted Condoleezza Rice. Condi was busy in Lebanon, and what a difference it would have been if we got Condi and Misha Barton was sent to the Middle East to negotiate a ceasefire. You know, it couldn't have been worse than Condi, I guess you could argue. Condi made many inroads there.
Can Misha Barton...
What's the key to the Lebanon?
Do we know, though, whether Misha Barton can play the piano?
No, I don't know. I don't know all her credentials. I assume she can. She's a very talented girl, and boy, she can give a good press conference. She only had one thing to really bone up on when she came out here, and that was Australian fashion. you can be pretty safe that if you're coming out to launch an Australian fashion event, the one question you're going to get asked is, which Australian fashion labels do you like? She couldn't handle that question. She stumbled. The miners had to come in and answer that for her.
What'd you say?
Ross Tucky had to come in.
He said hard yakka.
On her behalf and start finger pointing some journalists for putting the hard question.
King G was the
But I think it's great. I mean, we eventually did get to the bottom of who she was. She's very big on Jenny Key.
She
loves those Ken Doan T-shirts.
Does she just?
And she's going home in a hypercolour T-shirt, I believe. But
one of those ones that change when you sweat.
One of those.
Oh, good.
She's a bang-up for those. She thinks there should be much more of them. I'm just concerned now with all these terrorist scares and extra airport security that... we may have Misha on our shores a little bit longer.
She might not be able to fly home.
No, not for many weeks. So she's got a lot of time to learn about Australian fashion. I'd love to see if she can, you know, get herself a nice pair of Ugg boots or a nice driser boat, anything like that. If it'd be a cool cat, can someone rustle up for her? Daryl Summers might have some old jumpers he's not using. just if she can learn something about fashion, I think the visit will be that more worthwhile.
Chris Taylor, tonight on the show, what are you going to be doing?
Tonight on the show, what have we got? Well, it's, of course, a big census. The census continues tonight.
Yep.
It was the night that stopped the nation on Tuesday. I know Misha was very excited to spend the census night in Australia. I had the misfortune of spending the night in the theatre. And you know how the rule is that wherever you spend the night, you have to fill out the census form.
Yes.
As well as for every other person who's in the play.
Yeah.
So when you're at the theatre, that's a little bit difficult, especially getting the actors' details during a play. But I gave it my best shot.
I knew you would, mate. I'm looking forward to seeing you getting smacked around by an actor.
So that's on tonight. Plus, the story, I don't know if you caught, JB Hi-Fi retail chain is naming and shaming employees who steal CDs.
Really?
Yeah, they've started. This first retail branch to do this, apparently. They put out press releases about any staff that are... you know, nicking the CDs.
Yeah.
We think there's other people in record shops who deserve to be named and shamed.
People who are buying rubbish records.
People in the Anthony Kalia section.
Yes.
Anyone drifting past the Shannon Knoll or Anthony Kalia. So, yes.
They'll be named and shamed tonight on the show.
That's tonight at 10 o'clock. New special moved again.
Special time tonight, yeah. Good
special
on you.
Thanks. Terrorist-friendly time of 10 o'clock.
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Chris Taylor from the Chaser Network. Yes, at the special time tonight of 10 o'clock on 666. It's 26 past 7.